You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off of your next order. On today's episode, Saints fans got a spicy report over the last few days about the Panthers stealing Terrace Marshall, LSU wide receiver, away from the New Orleans Saints, who reportedly planned to draft him at pick number 60. So we'll talk about why that happened and why I think the Saints might have actually ended up a little bit better off in certain ways. So we'll discuss that. Then we'll take a look at what led to the Saints drafting Peyton Turner over the available cornerbacks left at pick number 28 in last weekend's NFL draft. Vice President and Assistant General Manager of College Personnel Jeff Ireland sat down with Saints columnist over at The Athletic Jeff Duncan and provided some context around the decision and how the Saints had their cornerback prospects ranked. And finally, we'll wrap up with your remaining questions from Facebook Friday as we kick off Mailbag Monday, which is also going to give us an opportunity to talk about some new programming here on the show as we move past the draft. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, Deputy Brand Manager over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL Podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Right, family, we have a fun and packed episode for you today, so we're just going to jump right into it. Let's start off with our lead story for the day. The Saints were reportedly set to draft LSU wide receiver Terrace Marshall at pick number 60, but Carolina was tipped off and took him at pick number 59 before the Saints could. That's a report that comes from Panthers.com's very own Darren Gant, who wrote a bit about the Panthers draft and their decision to make some of their selections. One of the things that they were talking about was that at pick 59, apparently, reportedly, the Panthers were actually interested in drafting BYU offensive lineman Brady Christensen, who they would later draft anyway at a later point. But at pick 59, they ended up being told that the Saints at pick 60, the selection right after them, were interested in LSU wide receiver Terrace Marshall. At that point, they apparently decided to change course and draft Terrace Marshall instead. And again, they would end up with Brady Christensen anyway later on in the draft. So look, the Saints had a need at wide receiver. There's really not much doubt about that, but there is some conversation around how much that need really is. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment, but let's just focus on the idea of Terrace Marshall to the New Orleans Saints. He would have been a perfect fit for New Orleans as being complementary to Michael Thomas, and if ever needed, depending upon how Michael Thomas's ankle healed up and everything, he would have also been a pretty interesting substitute in place of Michael Thomas as an X wide receiver that could work both outside and inside at 6'3", good size, all of those things that you still see with Michael Thomas, you still could have also gotten with Terrace Marshall to an extent, right? We're not going to expect Terrace Marshall to have been able to step into the New Orleans Saints offense, step in place of Michael Thomas to catch 149 passes in a season by any means, but he would have been a nice insurance policy for certain, and he would have been a nice complement with his 4.4 speed. So he was a perfect height, weight, speed prototype that would have fit in really well with the New Orleans Saints, but obviously with Joe Brady, former offensive assistant for the New Orleans Saints, as well as former passing game coordinator for LSU, who actually sat down and worked with Terrace Marshall back in the 2019 season, where LSU put together arguably the best college football team we've ever seen, at least over on the offensive side, that was too close a bind to really break, honestly. I'm sure Joe Brady was very happy to change course and draft Terrace Marshall as opposed to Brady Christensen. Now, I do think that there were a lot of Saints fans that would have loved to have seen Terrace Marshall as the selection at pick number 28. They would have seen him as a viable first rounder there. Clearly, the NFL looked at him differently with some injuries and things like that, hence why he fell into the back of the second round there. But it kind of makes you wonder if this report is legitimate. And I don't mean to like throw, I don't mean to throw shade or anything like that, but I just mean how much of this is also using the news to your advantage based upon last year's draft fiasco with Tommy Stevens. And if it is 100% legitimate and the Saints were really considering Terrace Marshall at pick 60 and, you know, Carolina pulled off the heist of a lifetime by changing course and drafting Terrace Marshall and still getting their guy that they wanted at a later point in the draft. Anyway, it kind of makes you wonder, was Tommy Stevens worth it? But I mean, the guy ended up not really playing for the Saints at all. The Saints traded up, of course, back into the bottom of the draft last year in 2020 to draft Tommy Stevens because they wanted him as an undrafted free agent, but it looked like he was going to change course and go and be with the Carolina Panthers. So the Saints traded away a sixth round pick for 2021 and then moved in back into the draft to actually draft him and select him, as opposed to losing the undrafted free agent battle there. And then now all this pettiness has sort of been taking place. So it kind of makes you wonder, is Tommy Stevens and the time you didn't even really get with him, was it at all worth it? But honestly, like, with all jokes aside, I do think that linebacker was still a bigger need than wide receiver. I mean, the Saints got the most versatile linebacker along the second level that was available to them at that spot at pick 60. And I think that that was a good fit for them. Jeff Ireland called him at worst a core special teamer, looks at him as a mic in the NFL that could essentially be used in any way, though, depending upon how they want to utilize DeMario Davis next season. So he has the versatility. Nick Underhill called Pete Werner the most ready player that the Saints drafted in terms of being NFL ready, pro ready to come in and step into a starting lineup. Wide receiver is a position for the Saints that could potentially grow inherently and change because of the change of the quarterback position. All of a sudden, these guys that were career deep threats in college get that level of their game back with the changing of the guard and a little bit of added arm strength and ability to push the ball downfield. Linebacker, however, was not going to get better unless it was addressed. There wasn't going to be any extra element that was going to be added without personnel being added and personnel being addressed. And that's what the Saints were able to do at pick 60, even though they might have missed out on wide receiver Terrace Marshall out of LSU. But if nothing else, if this report is true, at least we know that the New Orleans Saints don't actually avoid LSU players, or at least aren't doing so anymore, because of the way that LSU's offense now produces, makes those players a good fit for the New Orleans Saints and something to keep an eye out on as these receivers continue to churn out and now quarterbacks also continue to churn out from the LSU Tiger program. Now, coming up next, we're going to look at pick 28 a little bit more closely, the selection that actually happened there, Peyton Turner. What led to the Saints selecting Peyton Turner? We're going to get the GM perspective on every one of these prospects all throughout the week, but we're going to start off with the Houston defensive end. What led to the Saints selecting him? Jeff Ireland sat down with Jeff Duncan and gave us a little bit more context in terms of that selection. So we'll talk about that and more here as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And listen up, Saints fans, Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering complimentary bottles to all football fans in America. So to get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, just text DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps to boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels, as well as increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, if you text now, they're also going to include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Do you think the New Orleans Saints could be a 10-win team with the new 17-game schedule? Well, the over-under is set for 9.5 games when it comes to the New Orleans Saints 2021 win total. So if you feel pretty good either way on that win total, you can go ahead and drop a bet on that over at betonline.ag, our exclusive online betting partners. You can check them out right now with all of the win totals across the NFL. They've also got rookie futures. They've got awards futures, a ton still going on across the NFL, even though they're out of season at the moment. They've even got conference futures, division futures, Super Bowl winner, everything that you can go and take a look at. And that's just the NFL. They've also got NBA, MLB, NHL, UFC, and MMA action. So it's not time to sit on the sidelines anymore. It's now time for you to get in on the game. So check them out right now at their website or use your mobile device. Head over to betonline.ag. And don't forget that you can get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. right, good at Asian rolling right along with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And, you know, we just finished talking about the Carolina Panthers, so I should shout out my good friend Julian Council over at Locked On Panthers as well. If you want to learn a little bit more about the enemy, right, a division rival there, go and check out Locked On Panthers as well. But for the rest of today's episode, we're focused on a couple of different things here. We're going to look at Peyton Turner at pick number 28 and how the cornerback sort of prospect or board really laid out for the New Orleans Saints. And then we're going to get to your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group that were left over from Facebook Friday as a part of our Mailbag Monday. We'll also talk about some new programming here on the show, including the YouTube page, which is up and you can go and subscribe to today. Just search Locked On Saints over on YouTube. All right, so let's talk a little bit here about what led to the Saints drafting Houston defensive end Peyton Turner. We talked about the pick itself. You got the initial reaction. We talked about his fit with the team. We talked about that. We talked about the way that he, what he'll contribute, what he brings to the team. We got that out of the way as well. We have so much more to talk about with each of these prospects, but now let's start to get the GM perspective on all of them. We'll talk first about Peyton Turner here and what led to the Saints drafting him. So what we know for sure is that the Saints look to trade up into the top 10 for either cornerback J.C. Horn out of South Carolina or cornerback Patrick Surtain out of Alabama. Now, they weren't able to do that. It sounded like that they were in talks with the Denver Broncos to move up to 9, which would have put them in position to grab the Alabama corner, Patrick Surtain. But that's actually who the Denver Broncos ended up selecting. The Saints unwilling to give up a third first-round pick, which is what was being asked of them in order to move up from basically one of the last selections, I mean, one of the last five selections in the first round to one of the top 10 selections in the first round. That's a big time jump and a big time drop back to ask of a team. So you're going to have to pay a bit of a premium to get that to happen. Now, there were also some reports that say that the Saints had a deal ready at pick number 16 with the Arizona Cardinals to move up to draft Mac Jones, but that seems kind of unlikely. And according to Jeff Duncan, who also tweeted out this morning from The Athletic, the only trade, the only move that he's aware of from his sources are the one that we just is the one that we just talked about with the Saints trying to trade up for either J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain, trying to get one of those corners up in the top 10. Having a trade in place with the Arizona Cardinals seems a little iffy to me because the Arizona Cardinals were so locked into Zaven Collins. Everyone knew for like a week that Zaven Collins was going to be the selection there. So I feel like they wouldn't drop back 12 selections and then run the risk of not getting their guy there. So take that for what you will. But anyway, the Saints, regardless, waited until pick number 28 and took Peyton Turner, who was indeed, according to Jeff Ireland himself, the highest ranked player on their board. They had him ranked higher than any of the corners that were left on the board at that time as well, which include Tyson Campbell and include Eric Stokes as well. Now, they also had him ranked as a player that was just outside of a first round grade, which should be no surprise to anybody because there are only about 20 per team when it comes to first round grades. Usually when you're drafting toward the back of the first round, you're talking about guys that have a second round grade, but are worth a first round investment, particularly also including the fifth year option. Now, why not a corner at 28? Tyson Campbell was still on the board. Eric Stokes was still on the board. Where were those corners ranked in relation to Peyton Turner? So according to Jeff Ireland, what he told Jeff Duncan is that the Saints had sort of tiers set up that were Horn and Surtain that were the top tier there. Then they had Greg Newsome and Tyson Campbell. I imagine Caleb Farley was also in either one of those two tiers, right? Either the top tier with Horn and Surtain, or the second tier there with Newsome and Tyson Campbell out of Georgia. He didn't name him. Could be medical reasons that they ended up staying away. We know that the Saints had a big focus on clean medicals during this draft. Or it could be that he was just, as Jeff Duncan mentioned, reaching from memory and then couldn't figure out the name. So anyway, Horn and Surtain at the top, then the second class or second tier, Newsome and Campbell, probably Caleb Farley in there as well. And then the third tier was Eric Stokes and Paulson Adebo. Now, of course, there may be other names that were in there. Kentucky's Kelvin Joseph could have been there. Washington's Elijah Molden could have been in there somewhere. So, you know, you could see other names populating those lists as well. But as it stands, of the corners that were remaining at that time, which include Tyson Campbell, Eric Stokes, and Paulson Adebo, Turner was ranked higher. Scouts were in love with Peyton Turner, and the team didn't really feel like they settled in drafting him. In fact, they don't feel like they settled at all in drafting him. This is a team that always builds the trenches first, especially ever since Jeff Ireland became a director and then soon VP and assistant general manager of college personnel. an offensive and defensive lineman has been drafted in the first round ever since then. That would be since 2015, if you count. So he's a prototype. He's at a highly valued position for the New Orleans Saints. Versatility, he can play inside and out. He can rush standing up or out of a three-point stance. He's played the sort of run defender, defensive end role, 5 tech/4 inside. That'll be part of our programming for next week, where we'll talk more about that, or maybe later on this week, where we'll talk more about what that means, and as well as playing the 6, 7, 8, 9 roles to where you are more of an edge rusher on the defensive line. He was also healthy. Yes, he had the ACL tear back in his senior year of high school, but has been fine ever since then with only minor injuries from that point. He missed 3 games in 2020, but 2 of those games were because of COVID protocols, not because of his injury, although he did have a knee tweak at one point during the season. He also matches their style in terms of speed to power. We'll talk more about what that means later on in the week as well. But Turner might not have been the guy that was best remaining on a lot of people's boards, but he was the Saints' best remaining fit at pick number 28. And remember, when we look at big boards all across the national media and everything, they're ranking these players from a national perspective of who is better than whom at their position. Whereas when teams are doing this, they're doing it specific to their team fit. Peyton Turner, 6'6", 270, has athleticism, as Jeff Ireland said, fits their style, fits their scheme. He was the best remaining fit for the team at pick number 28. And they were still able to get a third tier corner who they really liked in Paulson Adebo at pick number 76 in the third round after filling the linebacker hole that was also very much a pressing need. So we'll continue to fill in the context here throughout the rest of the week and in the coming weeks of the sort of GM perspective, right? The assistant GM perspective, but the scouting perspective for sure about each of the 6 selections from the New Orleans Saints draft class. But coming up next, we're going to dive into a quick look at programming here on Locked On Saints as we continue Monday through Friday here throughout the rest of the offseason, as well as get to a few lingering questions in our Monday mailbag from you, the listeners. We have all of that coming up for you here in just a moment on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. And of course, I got to let you know today's episode brought to you by our good friends over at Built Bar. Now, Mother's Day has come and gone, but you can still get your mama a box of Built Bars. I'm going to keep saying it. Again, ain't never met a mother that didn't like Built Bars. They're too good. They're too good out there. So what's your favorite flavor? You feel free to let me know over at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, or you can let us know in the Locked On Saints Facebook group as well. But one of my favorite flavors is easily mint brownie. That's the one that I absolutely love. I'm a freak for mint and chocolate, and this tastes like it's coming straight out of the Bluebell quart gallon tub that I was just sitting there going to town on after the 2018 playoffs or something like that. So I love these Built Bars though, but they've got 9 delicious flavors right now, including the occasional limited time flavor, which included a sweet spicy flavor here recently. So always make sure you check out the website builtbar.com to see what the new limited time flavors are, and go ahead and grab yourself a box of Built Bars as well. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED 15 to get 15% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at builtbar.com. Let's get it, family. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with some lingering questions we have left over that we're throwing into our Monday mailbag, which will be a new segment here on the show to where we'll be able to combine the questions that come from Facebook and the questions that come from Twitter and then put them all together into our Monday mailbag. Now, to start us off with this segment, I want to talk a little bit through programming through the offseason. There will be a point to where sometimes weeks will shift to 3 episodes a week instead of 5 episodes a week, but for the most part, I plan to deliver 5 episodes a week all throughout the off season, just like we did last season. The exception being eventually I'm going away on my honeymoon once it's safe to do so. So you'll know all about that and what, you know, weeks are off and things like that. But 5 days a week is my goal as we continue on throughout the off season here, certainly through the month of May, no questions asked. Now, as we go through the offseason, I want to tell you more about what the program is going to be. So I have a lot of interviews with media members and as well as a few other surprise interviews that I've got scheduled coming up. So we'll have a lot of that going on to where you're hearing, not just from me, but hearing perspectives of others as well. Would love to get listeners involved a little bit as well, get some fans, some of the Who Dat Nation involved. So we'll talk about what possibilities there are with all of that. But here's the Monday through Friday breakdown as we continue to move forward. Mondays are always going to be the biggest stories from the weekends, and then we'll get to mailbags. That way, everybody has their opportunity to send questions in all throughout the week and weekend. On Tuesdays, we'll continue on with Twitter Tuesday, which will be me putting out a question to Twitter and then discussing a topic, utilizing your input from that. Wednesdays, we're going to do a new segment called Midweek Fundamentals. And now I pitched this to the Locked On Saints Facebook group. Everybody seemed to be down with it. Basically, this is going to take the place of Film Watch Wednesday, and we'll start to break down some of the fundamentals of football. I know I take for granted a lot of terminology that we use and everything throughout the shows, and so I just want to make sure that I'm doing my best to also teach and define what those things are. So we'll learn more about coverages, about schemes, about personnels, about packages, about concepts, all of this, all throughout using film from the Saints 2020 season. Thursdays, we'll continue on with Top 3 Thursday. I'm just having way too much fun with that. If you have suggestions about what you want to hear the top three of, though, make sure you hit me up with those. And then on Fridays, we'll continue on with Facebook Fridays as well. And those will be live stream shows on the Facebook page, which will end up going up on YouTube. So if you want to be a part of Locked On Saints Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints so you can catch those live episodes on Fridays. And starting this Wednesday, shows are also going to be available on the Locked On Saints YouTube page if you want to watch the show as well as listen. So that's going to be our first midweek fundamentals segment. So that way we'll have some film to look at throughout that. So make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Saints YouTube page by searching Locked On Saints on YouTube. All right, so now let's go ahead and wrap up with our mailbag questions from this week. We're going to start off with my good homie, Rick Sincere of the My Team, My Voice podcast network. He wanted to ask here, if the Saints had to move forward with the current cornerbacks, what is the defensive ranking at the end of the season and why? So I would probably throw the Saints in the middle of the pack right now if they went forward with Paulson Adebo as their starting corner opposite Marshawn Lattimore. And this is assuming Marshawn Lattimore is available to play all 17 games, and that there's not some pending early season suspension by any means. But it's going to take Paulson Adebo some time to get sort of acclimated to the NFL speed and get up to speed all told. Now, minicamp, it's coming up on the 14th. That's going to be really important for him. But if they went through right now with the defense that they have, which also includes a rookie Pete Werner opposite DeMario Davis, I would probably put them middle of the pack because I would imagine them struggling a little bit early with communication, familiarity, all those things, and then getting better as the season progresses. So for me, that puts them right in the middle of the pack, somewhere within that, let's say 15th to 22nd ranked defense, which I know goes a little bit deeper into that, but that's kind of the way that I look at it. He also wanted to know why zero HBCU players were selected in the draft, especially a guy like Grambling offensive lineman David Moore. Well, I hate when HBCU players don't get selected in drafts, but the lack of play in the HBCU conferences and pushing into spring football, I think all of that probably created some issues for NFL teams who are willing to roll the dice on not having the more immediate film in a 2020 season on those, you know, bigger pack, you know, power five schools than they are with guys that are playing in, you know, outside of that. Right. And so I think that that becomes a big part of it. But, you know, I think there's a lot of amazing talent in HBCU teams. And we'll continue to see that, I think, more apparently as these coaches continue to funnel into HBCU teams and, you know, these high profile coaches continue to funnel into those programs. And therefore, we'll get a better look at who those players are and potentially even see higher profile players committing to HBCUs over Power Five or at least FCS level D1 schools, right? Which a lot of those HBCU schools also are, but they're just not looked at in the same vein. Was running back Stevie Scott's production shown in his highlight reel more a matter of his vision, his short area quickness, was due to a dominant O-line? Can the Saints have a short yardage? Can he have short yardage success with the Saints? I think he can have short yardage success, but that's really it. I mean, he's not somebody that's going to rip off any big plays or anything like that. He only had 3 plays in his collegiate career over 35 yards. He's not really much of a receiver out of the backfield either. He's just somebody that I think that the Saints are going to bring in and have a look at here over camp, but I'm not putting huge expectations on him, especially when you already have a wide receiver room that's really pretty built out enough that we called it one of our top three positions last week on Top 3 Thursday. Next, we'll get to our good friend Felix Grimm here. Kind of a follow-up to Thursday's episode, should the Saints move Juwan Johnson to tight end? I think that's probably best for Juwan Johnson, especially if the focus ends up being a little bit more of a deep threat or deep attacking offense. So I wouldn't mind seeing him move to tight end. That was something that I had mentioned, and I know John Sigler has mentioned as well, which Felix referenced, but we talked about that here on the show in the offseason when they signed him, and we talked to the former host of Locked On Ducks at that time about his potential availability to move to tight end and how that could potentially make his transition to the NFL a little bit smoother. I still think it would be a good idea for him. Next, we've got Siriaco S here, who asks, does Werner, Pete Werner, immediately supplant Zach Bond in the rotation? I don't know that Zach Bond was going to be in the rotation yet. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been so let's say, invested in addressing the linebacker position. I think Zach Bond needs more time to learn his new position. This will really be the first year he gets an opportunity to learn that. So I don't know that he supplants Zach Bond, because I don't know that Zach Bond was ever firmly implanted in the first place. But they do have now, the Saints, a potential to have both Pete Werner and Zach Bond operating in the second level in the future. And we'll wrap up here with Jeremy Araby here, who asks, since the Saints have tried to add to the quarterback room ever since Drew Brees retired, do the Saints add another vet that might get cut? It's an interesting question, and I hadn't really considered them potentially adding another veteran, but I don't think that they do. They've got Trevor Siemian there already. They, of course, have Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. They added Ian Book. I think they're pretty good at the quarterback position, especially if Taysom Hill is really going to focus on being a quarterback during training camp, which it sounds like that will be the case. I don't think they need to add another veteran unless there's an injury or something that they need to supplement for a little while or something like that. But I don't anticipate them adding another veteran, but it would be very interesting if they did to bring in another potential QB3 option to battle along with Trevor Siemian and, of course, Ian Book. Now, there is, a guy named Aaron Rodgers on the market, but I don't think that the Saints can really make a move for Aaron Rodgers. So outside of that, I think you're looking at maybe a bottom of the depth chart guy to battle a bit at QB3. So make sure that you come back tomorrow, y'all. It will be Twitter Tuesday. We're going to be discussing the Saints' number one remaining need on their roster with the help of listeners over on Twitter and Saints fans over on Twitter. So make sure you follow me at Ross Jackson Nola to get in on that. And we'll be back tomorrow as well as all throughout the rest of the week, Monday through Friday, here on Locked On Saints. So I thank you very much, as always, y'all, for everything that you do, for listening, rating, reviewing, sharing, and for helping to grow this family. Most importantly, you can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're mom and them, and trust you, that nation. I'll holler at you.